Switching gears, distinctly switching gears, in the introduction to the book Transformation of America, Mark Phillips writes, "The grim reality we must all embrace is that there is, in human terms, no justice and no revenge adequate to equal what these two, Kathy and Kelly, and many other victims of this U.S. government secret weapon, experienced. The only remaining remnant of opportunity for justice for these survivors would be derived from a public forum expose of what they experienced." Well, that's what we're going to do tonight. First-time guests on the program, Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, thanks for joining us. You both there? Kathy and Mark? Do we have our guests there, Kathy and Mark?
Yes, and congratulations, George, on your Peabody Award.
Thanks, appreciate that. Kathy, you there with us as well? Kathy's gone. Mark, let's start with you then. You were a former defense subcontractor. You worked as an aviation executive. You had knowledge of top secret projects and eventually learned a lot about mind control research and MK Ultra, the CIA mind control program. And then years later, you hooked up with Kathy and her daughter, and basically you turned them around. You gave them a new lease on life. Am I summarizing it correctly?
Yes, that is correct, George. My tenure began in the late 60s, and pardon the ring, there's Kathy's phone coming.
Okay.
My tenure with the Department of Defense began in the late 1960s. There are many aspects of my former employment that remain sealed under classified for reasons of national security, obviously. One of my files will be released in 2015, which outlines some of what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about what you did for Department of Defense, the general nature of the kind of work?
Yes, indeed. I was more or less a bag man, a highly paid executive with a variety of military industrial provider corporations. And but nevertheless, I call myself a bag man because I oversaw in many places, including like the Yerkes Primate Center and other places, mine research projects that were sub-projects of MK Ultra. I never heard, but maybe once or twice over over a decade, the term MK Ultra. Everyone within intelligence is highly compartmentalized as far as what they are told, and one of the primary reasons that you stay employed is that you do not discuss or ask questions about anything that you may surmise or from what you've seen or experienced.
Well, understood. Hey, I'm told we now have Kathy on the phone there as well. Kathy, how you doing?
Doing fine, thank you.
I've been reading your books, and I got to tell you, it's depressing. I mean, the story that you tell is that from the time you were 5 years old on, you were basically sold to the CIA for mind experimentation by your own father for his own reasons. And then you've had a life of a lot of heartbreak in your life.
I have. I've been exposed to a lot in the course of my MK Ultra mind control existence on a White House Pentagon level. And I'm very fortunate to have survived it, healed, and to be able to bring this information to light. It's necessary that people understand what mind control is, because knowledge is our only defense against it.
You know, you go into, in your book, Transformation, and the other book, Access Denied, you go into some of your family background and the things that happened, the things that were inflicted on you by your father from a very early age. And I don't want to dwell on them too much unless you want to, but it becomes relevant to the larger story, doesn't it, the things that happened to you as a child?
Absolutely it does, and it's pertinent so that people have an understanding of what mind control is, and also it gives a lot of information into what we're seeing in government, particularly through these past administrations, and what has brought us to the point that our country's in right now. So it is pertinent to us all. And,
so tell me about your experiences growing up, your father.
Well, like so many other people, I was sexually abused as a child, and I was born into a multi-generational incest-based family, and that means that my father was sexually abused and my mother was sexually abused, and therefore they were sexually abusing me. Oftentimes when children are sexually abused, it becomes their way of life and it's passed on through generations. This was found in the Hitler-Himmler research back in Nazi Germany, that that multi-generational incest went on like that. And when it does, it creates a mind brain disorder called dissociative identity disorder. And this was what Himmler and Hitler were very interested in studying and targeting for mind control. Because when a person's dissociative, it's as though the conscious mind takes flight, leaving the subconscious mind wide open to being easily manipulated and easily led. The subconscious mind doesn't have any ability to reason, to question, and will follow orders. And therefore, that was part of their studies. At the time I was growing up in Muskegon, Michigan, back in the early 60s, I was born in 1957, the U.S. government was, a criminal faction of the U.S. government was actively involved in mind control research at that time. The Nazi and fascist scientists involved in mind control in Germany had been brought over to the United States through Project Paperclip. And so this a criminal faction of our government was actively targeting children like myself who were in these multi-generational families of incest and abuse for their MKUltra mind control projects. The way that I was found in was that my father had expanded his sexual abuse of me into child pornography. And back in the early 60s, child pornography we didn't have the internet or anything like that. So it was being sent through the U.S. mails. And this faction of the government was watching to see who was involved in this in order to find children like myself. And they found the pornography, and that's what ultimately thrust me into the project.
So it's the kind of thing where they come to your dad and say, hey, we know you're producing child pornography. You can go to prison or you can cooperate with us by basically giving us your daughter?
Exactly what happened. And my father thought it was, you know, a great idea and felt like the government condoned the child abuse, and actually went on to have more children to raise in the project. So there were seven of us in all. But I was the one that eventually went on to be used on a White House Pentagon level. And the way that that happened was that at the time, the local politician.
I'll tell you what, Kathy, that sounds like we're going to take us a couple of minutes to get into that conversation. I hate to interrupt you, but we're going to come back and get pick up that story with our guests, Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, authors of Access Denied, here on Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. Our first-time guests, Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, authors of Transformation of America, The True Life Story of a CIA Mind Control Slave, and that slave is Kathy. Mark, I hope you're being patient with us. I need to cover some ground here with Kathy, and then we'll be getting to your part of the story in a bit. You okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Kathy, going back to where you are, I mean, here's the question. All right, you're a young girl. You're 5 years old. How is it that you know that your father cut this deal with the CIA?
I had a photographic memory. When a person is subjected to extreme trauma, the brain automatically, photographically records events surrounding that trauma. And that is another thing that had made me a prime candidate or a chosen one for MKUltra. So even though I didn't have a conscious understanding of what was happening at the time, I certainly remember it in photographic detail now. It's like I didn't have any way of being able to morally judge what my father was doing was wrong. So even at that, I couldn't, I wouldn't have thought to dissociate. It's something that automatically happens in the brain. So at that young of age, prior to age five, the brain is still forming, And that is when these other mechanisms automatically come into place. And one of them is a photographic memory.
Yeah, but what is it that you remember? Do you remember guys coming in and flashing CIA badges and your dad saying, there she is, boys, take her? What is it that you remember from?
This criminal faction of the government that I was referring to is also referred to as the shadow government. And our local politician in Muskegon, Michigan at that time was Gerald Ford. And this is the same Gerald Ford that went on to become the unelected president of the United States. But at that time, he was just a local politician who was sanctioning the local Michigan mafia child pornography ring in order to target children like myself for MKUltra mind control. And I remember him coming to the house and having the little video under his arm and waiting to talk with my father. And at that time is when he had told him that he could have immunity from prosecution if he sold me in the project. My father was very thrilled with that idea, and as soon as he agreed to it, he was flown to Boston, Massachusetts for a two-week course in how to raise me in the project. And in that course, it was a matter of how to deal with the literal mind, dealing with the subconscious mind.
So when you're talking about mind control, were you ever taken away and CIA put you in a room and, I don't know, waterboard you or yells at you or hypnotizes you or whatever they do?
Absolutely. There was much torture and trauma that was deliberately and systematically used on me from that point on, once my father sold me into the project. And I think it's really important to note that Gerald Ford's cabinet, once he was president, had George Bush Sr. as the head of the CIA. Donald Rumsfeld as his Secretary of Defense, and Dick Cheney as his Secretary of State. So we're looking at the same people that have been in power now. We're looking at Dick Cheney, who I have known for so much of my mind control victimization and worked under him in the Pentagon during the Reagan-Bush administration in particular. And it's important for people to know that this has been ongoing for a long time. This is not something that just started after 9/11. This is something that's been going on in this country for generations, and it's got to stop. And that's why this information is so pertinent that it be brought to light at this time. And the tortures that I was subjected to included ritual abuse at a very young age, since I was being raised in the Catholic Church. And as I said, my father was flown to Boston, Massachusetts, where he learned to manipulate my mind the way that the subconscious would understand, which is a very literal way.
But all right, let's go back to this. Ritual abuse means what? I mean, that people are wearing funny hats and uniforms and all standing around chanting, or what do you mean?
Primarily blood trauma. It's a reversal of the Catholic Mass. It's a Satanism. It's a cultism that came to light in the Catholic child abuse scandal not too very long ago. And, of course, Boston, Massachusetts was the epicenter of this systematic abuse, which was a joint effort between the CIA, the criminal faction of the government, of the shadow government, and the Catholic Church, because the Catholics had long since learned the effects of trauma on the human mind through such things as the Spanish Inquisition and the Crusades way back when. So they had a long history of knowing the effects of trauma on the human mind. Combining that with the Himmler research and the advanced technologies of the CIA made for a very, very powerful form of mind control. And this kind of torture and trauma-based mind control is the ultimate weapon of mass destruction that has been used against us all for a long, long time.
I'm having trouble with the idea of Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford's the guy who comes to your house and cuts a deal with your dad for the CIA?
Well, he was a local politician. It was very simple and an easy, natural process at the time. He was part of the Blue Masonic Lodge that my mother's father ran, and it was just a local person. You know, I right. didn't have any perception of the political influence. Of course, after being able to remember what I had been tortured to forget, I know the power and influence of these people because they've been suppressing this information for so long. And but yes, it was Gerald Ford.
So, all right, we'll get into some more detail about that and some of the other people, the Clintons, for example, that right. you say were involved in this as well. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program. I want you give me a sense of what is it. Okay, they get some mind control stuff that they use on you. What is it that they're controlling your mind to do? I mean, are they teaching you to be the Manchurian candidate, an assassin, or are you just a sex slave, or what is it?
Well, since I'd been sexually abused, my sexuality had been heightened, and so I was definitely used in a sexual manner throughout my MKUltra existence. I also delivered messages to and from various government leaders, and I was used in the black budget funding operations, which were the cocaine and heroin industries.
Meaning you're carrying money in that stuff?
Carrying drugs. And also part of the arms for drugs that has been going on for a long time as well. For example, back in the mid-80s, the drugs were already being run out of Afghanistan in exchange for arms. And this was my exposure into Guantanamo, Cuba. And it wasn't as a torture camp to me at that time. Instead, it was where the rocket launchers and the arms were being run through to get them into Afghanistan in exchange for opium. And this was part of George Bush's operation, which is why he is referred to as Poppy, because he was involved and has been involved in the heroin industry for so long. But that was that faction of it, and it was
So he's not called Poppy just because he's Dad Pops, huh?
Well, they usually, everything they do is for more than one reason, and even the terms that they use and a name like that would most likely have additional definitions. And from my point of view and from my experience, there are many people that called him Poppy, knowing full well that of his involvement in the heroin industry.
So you are a courier carrying drugs. From who tells you this? Who says, here's some drugs, go drop it off somewhere, and where do you go?
Well, it wasn't exactly structured that way. I mean, I was programmed in various ways for doing that, from various NASA installations, through DARPA, and on various military installations, to it was an elaborate mechanism that's already in place. It was a whole structure and setup of drugs for arms, and of course this ran into Iran-Contra during the Reagan-Bush administration. But also the cocaine operation that the CIA was involved in is what had exposed me to the Clintons. So that was also part of it, and it was a process of being brought into that over the course of several years.
Kathy, fascinating story. Mark Phillips, when we come back, we'll get into how you entered the picture as well. Stay with us for more on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, authors of two books. One's called Transformation of America, the other Access Denied, about a CIA mind control program that essentially made Kathy a slave for much of her life, a program that Mark Phillips rescued her from. We're going to take this break. When we come back, we'll get into how Mark learned about MKUltra and how he helped Kathy and her daughter get out of it. Stay with us. I'm George Knapp. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, everyone. Our guests, Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, talking about the CIA's mind control program, otherwise known as MKUltra. Mark, I want to go to you, and we'll resume Kathy's story in a couple of minutes. How is it that you came into this sort of this world? How did you first get exposed to mind control research?
Well, George, actually, the process was quite simple. I did not want to go to Vietnam, and I was drafted. And it was at that point in time that I was fortunate enough to land a job with the Ampex Corporation out of Redwood City. Ampex was, of course, the forerunner, the inventor of magnetic tape, and also the instant replay machine. So they were at the top of the heap at the time for recording both visual and audio. They had an enormous military-industrial complex contract, I should say. And at that point, after I joined Ampex, I went through about 6 months of psychological testing. Around the fourth month, as I recall, it was at that time that I began to question why on earth I was being asked the same questions day in and day out, or week in and week out, by various psychologists and psychiatrists that were, I believed at that time, were under the employ or contract with the Ampex Corporation, when in fact they were Defense Department contractors. They wanted to make sure that I could keep a secret. And once that was established, it was a situation whereby I was told that I would be receiving a top secret clearance, and that my neighbors would be interviewed, all of my grade school teachers, high school teachers, everyone would be interviewed, and they were.
And did you get the clearance?
Yes, I got the clearance, and as a result of getting the clearance, I was also receiving compensation from both my employers, and it was a situation where I started out working in behavior modification programs. I never saw any torture, by the way. Absolutely nothing like you're hearing about now and also hearing about from Kathy. I was in mental institutions, both state and federal, working there and overseeing the recording visual videotape of patients that were either volunteers or patients who were suffering from whatever kind of mental illness. I wasn't, of course, knowledgeable as to what specifically was wrong with them, except they were locked up in prisons and or in mental institutions. I worked at the Yerkes Primate Centers, both in Atlanta and in Denver, actually overseeing maintaining the integrity of all the file tapes. And all the file tapes that I collected always went red bag back to Fort George Meade, Maryland. And it was my understanding that what they were doing at that time was because the Russians had had such a catastrophe with their space program that they were actually thinking about, or NASA was, thinking about using primates to fly these spacecraft. Well, that, of course, never worked out, as many government projects don't.
Right.
But nevertheless, that's what they were working towards, and I was fortunate enough to have gotten to see things that have only come to light in the last few years, where they taught certain varieties of primates how to use sign language and how to actually communicate in the English language using sign language, and it was remarkable to me. I thoroughly enjoyed my job.
Okay, so you're in that milieu, so to speak. How do you come into Kathy's orbit? When does that happen?
Oh, much, much later. In the late 1980s, 1987, because my name had been in the newspaper, local papers in Nashville, Tennessee, in the business section so many times, I was vice president of one NASA spinoff company called Laser Systems and Electronics. And by the way, they and General Medical were the first company that I knew of to embrace developing through a behavior modification implant, and that was a disaster. It was introduced into the body through a procedure called a transphenoidal hypothecamy, where they put it in your sinus cavity, and nevertheless, the mortality rate was absolutely atrocious, and that thing was abandoned completely with those two companies. The way that I met Kathy was after I cut myself free of working for a military-industrial complex provider. I also, at the same time, cut myself free from having to work with the CIA. By the way, I started out with the DIA, Defense Intelligence, and it evolved into CIA. I've been told many times by people that I know that it never evolved, that I was always working for the CIA. But then I became vice president of Capital International Airways, the world's largest supplemental carrier. And I believe if you take those initials and you look at the day or the year that that company was founded in 1947, the same year that the CIA was founded officially.
Amazing coincidence, I guess.
Amazing. I mean, just my life has been full of those amazing coincidences. Nevertheless, after my 10 years with Capital International Airways, Laser Systems, Electronics, which was a company that was also based in Tennessee, there's a fellow by the name of Alex Houston who was I'm really loathe the idea of calling him a comedian or entertainer, but he was an MC for a lot of country music acts, and he was a friend of a guy that I had grown up with and had long since disengaged my friendship with him because we just grew apart. I didn't share any interest with him whatsoever. Nevertheless, he had contacted me, this fellow by the name of Ray Myers, who was my old friend, not anymore, but nevertheless, he contacted me and said, I have a good friend named Alex Houston that wants to start up a joint venture company with the People's Republic of China. They are running, now that the Iron Curtain, if you want to call it, has dropped, they are running short of energy, and their mining and their glass production and steel production plants are having to shut down on alternative dates, and it's costing them more to restart them than it is to actually be able to keep them online. And make a profit. So they were wanting to gear up for energy efficiency, and these large capacitor banks was really an answer to that problem. And the U.S. had long since had the technology, and China did too, but they didn't have the advanced...
Let's not get off the track here. Okay. This guy you know comes to you, and he says he wants to get you involved in this business deal. How does that lead to this guy, Alex Houston?
Well, Alex Houston was my partner in this, and he was the one that wanted me to set it up because he knew that I had worked for the Department of State. He also knew that I had worked to the Undersecretary of Travel and Tourism, and he knew that I had people that I could network with and set this procedure up or this business joint venture company, which I did. And it was after the joint venture company had been completely structured and we were having the ribbon-cutting ceremony in the Shenzhen province of China, which is an industrial zone, that I was approached by a Chinese intelligence officer. And it was at that point that he told me that Alex Houston, my partner, was involved in drugs, money laundering, child and adult prostitution, and it was, he said that all of those are capital offenses for any foreigner entering the country with that kind of a background. And at that point, he showed me my own files that were highly classified. And he said, we know who you are, and you don't represent a threat. Alex Houston does, and we want you to get rid of him and buy him out. So that's precisely what I did. And when I learned from this gentleman about the child and adult prostitution aspect, that he was prostituting this young woman and her child. At that time, Kelly was about 7 years old, six or seven. And it was at that point that I asked him one question. I said, are you familiar with the term mind control? And he said, yes. we invented it or something, something to that effect. I don't recall the exact conversation. I don't have a photographic memory like Kathy. But nevertheless, the gentleman went on to explain that this woman and this child had no capacity for logically reasoning anything, and they were under the control of Alex Houston and others. So when I came back home, I turned this over to the, turned this information over to the Department of State, someone I knew, and said that I had seen my classified files in China, and this was a breach of national security, and that if I didn't report it, I was going to be in deep trouble. So about a day or maybe a day and a half later, I received a call back from the Department of State. The person did not identify themselves other than their position, and they clarified that they knew exactly what I was talking about and told me that it never happened, to forget about it and just move on.
Well, apparently you didn't, so I want to pick the story up with Kathy. Kathy, so when is the first time you meet Mark Phillips?
I met Mark in 1987, and it was right about the time when I was turning 30, and when people are used on the level that I was under mind control, they're often eliminated at age 30. Because there's a mechanism that kicks in the brain where the memory that has been compartmentalized through trauma and torture, the neuron pathways of the brain change, and it allows for memory to start surfacing, which is what often happens in mental health. If people have been abused and they have repressed memories, it will start surfacing around age 30, and that's oftentimes when the psychiatrist will start seeing them. So around age 30, people like myself were eliminated, and Mark came in and rescued me and my daughter, Kelly, right at that point when I was being turned over to the people who would make sure that I was that I died with the secret. And he took my daughter and I to the safety and serenity of Alaska, and being safe for the first time in my life and being cared for and known love was what allowed for me to begin remembering the things that I'd been tortured to forget.
George, if I may inject here.
Sure.
Kathy really didn't, she didn't, at most times, didn't even know her own name. She had no clue as to how old she was. I kept showing her driver's license, and she said, kept telling me it was wrong. She was 24, and she had been believing she was 24 for about 6 years. But nevertheless, she had no awareness of anything that had happened to her at that point.
But how does it work? You call her up, you go come knock on the door, what, and then start telling her a story. Hey, by the way, you're under mind control. Tell me that part.
Well, there's a thing. There are a couple of things here at play that many of your listeners would know about, and one of them is called the Stockholm syndrome, which when a person is subjected to sleep, water, and food deprivation, and various levels of torture, they become sympathetic with their abusers. And they'll actually protect the identity of their abusers. And they will actually have affection for their abuser. Patty Hearst was a good
Patty Hearst, sure. Right.
What had happened, though, with Kathy, I was well aware of all of these things. But what I wasn't aware of is that no one had ever in history escaped from mind control. If you can escape, that's called abuse or an abuse base. The only way that someone can be removed from a situation like that is if someone, benevolent someone, is made aware of one of their triggers. And in this case, one of the triggers was a guy who had made frequent calls to Kathy. And all this stuff, by the way, has been researched and verified enough to the point to where we provided a sworn testimony before the United Nations and both houses of Congress. But you two
did personally. The two
yes.
of you did.
We provided the testimony personally to both houses of Congress in permanent select committees for intelligence oversight.
Okay, we'll come back to that. I'm still looking for the answer to the question about how you met Kathy.
Well, actually, the first time I ever saw her was once when Alex and I were returning back from China, and she met him at the airport, and she appeared to be just some absolute dim-witted blonde, and she dressed horribly, I mean, like a prostitute. But I thought, well, this is consistent with, you know, the music, country music industry, and maybe that's why she dresses like this, and she's just dumber than a stick to be with Alex. But nevertheless, that was my first time to meet her. The second time, it may have been the third, the second time, as I recall, was when I made a phone call to some people who had worked with me over many, many years and who are acutely aware of mind control and how it's applied on a military basis. And they provided me, one of them did, with one of the triggers to reach Kathy. And I simply did call her on the telephone. And since Bert always said this is the voice of God, I said, good grief, you know, what does God sound like? You know, nevertheless, I just said, you open the conversation, this is God. And I had covertly gone into her home while she and Alex was gone. He was up at Boys Town entertaining himself, most likely. But nevertheless, I'd gone into the home and cracked the spine of her Bible so that when she opened it, it would come up to Psalms 37:37, because she had been programmed with hyper-religiosity. Psalms 37:37, if you take it on a literal basis, is Mark the perfect man. And that's, in other words, that's, I got her out with the voice of God, had her meet me at a local Burger King in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. And it was at that point that I told her life was in great danger. She had very little awareness of anything like that. She looked very puzzled. And then I applied a couple of more triggers, or they call them codes and keys in the business. And I told her that I was going to extract her out of Alex Houston's grasp and her daughter. Well, something clicked, because she became extraordinarily cooperative and even showed signs of intelligence for the first time. Although she didn't know her name when I call her Kathy, and she didn't know how old she was. Never something clicked, so I was able to get her out. And at that point in time, and it's a long story, but all of that is in our books. And I took them to Alaska because I had worked there. I knew there was only three ways in, and three ways out. And everybody that goes into Alaska is photographed at least a dozen times. So I thought, well, this would be some sort of a safety net if my previous employer thought I'd lost my mind to give up everything that I had in life. I had a little over $2 million that I had worked and paid taxes for in 1988, and in February the 4th, 1988, or thereabouts, those assets were frozen. And they were
that's bad news. That's definitely bad news. We're going to take a break and come back with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips and their story about CIA mind control here on Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. We're talking with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips about their true life experiences with a CIA mind control program and how Mark was able to get Kathy away from it. We got a lot of ground still to cover about experiences that you had, but I just got to tell you here at this point, I have trouble. I have trouble with it. Trouble dealing with the idea that Gerald Ford and Ronald Reagan and George Bush and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were all part of this. And I know you two have told this story before. You wrote two books about it. You must be used to that criticism, but it's a lot to swallow. I mean, grandfatherly Ronald Reagan is part of some sex ring? I don't know. It's a lot to swallow. Kathy?
Well, this isn't about naming names, because until people learn to realize that mind control exists and the effects of trauma and torture on the human mind is manipulated by some people in government, it's not going to help to point fingers. What's important, and the naming names right now, is that we realize what Dick Cheney has been aware of and involved in for so many years. This is proven information, and we have national security that has been invoked on our case, and we haven't been able to pursue any further justice for so-called reasons of national security. And they're not going to put national security on something that isn't real. So whether anyone wants to believe it or not, I certainly didn't want to believe it at the time, because that's what created the compartmentalization of memory, or the dissociation from what I was experiencing. When a person experiences extreme trauma, the brain automatically compartmentalizes memory of that event so the rest of the mind can function normally. It's a defense mechanism that's set up in the brain. And this memory gets compartmentalized so that it can't be brought to conscious mind. For example, my father's sexual abuse was compartmentalized to where when I went to school, I didn't think about that sexual abuse. I didn't have a conscious awareness of it. And yet when he came in to sexually abuse me, then the part of my brain that dealt with my father would, those neuron pathways would open up, and the part that experienced that abuse would deal with it again and again and again as needed. This compartmentalization of memory is what the government was interested in for keeping secrets. They thought, what better place to keep government secrets than in the dissociative compartmentalized mind of someone who can't think to bring it to mind and can't think to tell the secrets. So it was the ultimate way of being able to keep government secrets, and that's another reason why they were interested in this particular disorder. The criminals, this criminal faction, this shadow government, has been in control for some time, and it's finally coming to light, and these people are being exposed. If they are the same people over and over again, the Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, George Bush.
But people from both parties, though, you're saying, right?
Absolutely. It has nothing to do with Democrat and Republican. It is an agenda that is totally separate and has to do with a New World Order agenda. It has to do with taking over the drug industries and the oil industry. These are all oil mongers. These are people who are not interested in the welfare of humanity. They're not interested in the constitutional values of our country. They were only interested in their own agenda, and we are finally seeing truth brought to light, these criminals exposed, and this operation stopped.
Well, you know, you take on something this big, you're going to have critics, and I've seen some of the things that have been written by your critics who say these two tell a really interesting tale, but it seems like everything that they tell is based on documents that they've obtained from, you know, public sources about MK Ultra and things that are already published in congressional hearings and things of that sort, and you pick and choose, cherry pick bits and pieces of information that are weaved into this rich tapestry of a story that you tell.
Well, George, let me inject something here.
Sure.
Transformation of America, of course, is our condensed, summarized testimony. I mean, our actual testimony was in the thousands of pages. We had cooperation of U.S. Customs. We had the cooperation of many members of the intelligence community that I cannot identify with officially involved in our investigation initially. And this was from about 1990 until 1993. And if you read Transformation today, you must understand the book was written in 1995, when probably 90% of what was written had not come to light, was not written anywhere and was certainly not within any MK Ultra documents, because those MK Ultra documents had been heavily redacted, and there is no way in the world Kathy could have known these things unless she experienced them. As a matter of fact, like you, I was a skeptic at first. I thought, well, this is the worst, most incredible programming I have ever encountered. And I, of course, in my course of my tenure, working for the Department of Defense, I had watched espionage agents that had been captured be, for all intent purposes, have their minds accessed through drugs and hypnosis and various other in sundry ways, without torture, by the way. It amazed me that some of the things she was telling me, of course, as a Washington insider, I contacted people that I knew and could trust who were still working on the Hill, and they confirmed a great many of the things. But, of course, there was no way at that time that everything in the book could be verified. However, it is now 14 years later, and guess what? About 96 or 97%, according to our readers and the people that we work with around the world, our book is in about, transits in 8 languages now, in 55 countries. The facts have absolutely surfaced to verify these things. So it wasn't something that we could cherry pick or take out of any text that had ever been published, especially the MK Ultra files. When George Bush Junior came into office, the MK Ultra files were were reclassified for a period of time. Well, that's kind of like reclaiming your virginity. Once the genie's out of the bottle, it's not going to happen. But nevertheless, the files were deemed inappropriate for our terrorists to see, when in fact they've been declassified for some time.
Okay, I tell you what, stop there, Mark. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back, pick up the story. I want to hear a little bit more about life on the run and, you know, why the two of you are not dead, if all this is true and you're talking about it openly, why you're not dead. Stay with us. I'm George Knapp. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Knapp. We're talking with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips about their experiences with a CIA mind control program. Kathy, you had mentioned at the beginning of the show that you were a multi-generational victim of incest, and I'm wondering what life is like for your own daughter, because I know from reading, looking at your books, that you took her basically on the road, and it seemed that she had also been become part of this program. Tell me that's part of the story.
Yes, my daughter was also used in MK Ultra as multi-generational. She was just subjected to horrible traumas. The worst trauma that I experienced, the worst torture that ever could happen, it was more than any physical trauma and more than any physical torture, was anything that happened to my daughter. That was, I was not of the same mindset that where the abuse is passed on for generations. I was referred to as the 100th monkey or whatever. So when my daughter was to be abused, I did everything to stop her from being abused.
And when did this start? What happened? How did you know something was going on?
Well, Kelly was born into MK Ultra in 1980, and it was advanced at that point where they were using harmonic technologies, and she was subjected to these harmonic technologies since birth, and she was being groomed for espionage at that time.
I don't know what harmonic technologies is. What's that mean?
Mark, can you describe the harmonic technologies?
Yeah, you know, everything on the planet vibrates at a different rate. I mean, everything, inanimate as well as animate. Harmonic hell is what it's called in the business. Nevertheless, what it does is it scars the covering of the synapse in the brain when certain harmonics are introduced at various frequency levels. And once these pathways or the in the brain, in other words, the hardwiring of the brain, once this scarring occurs on the outside of the nerves, that's where all the information is transmitted, it reroutes the actual person's ability to think. So it compartmentalizes their ability to be able to rationally reason, to remember anything, even if being tortured, that there's no way they can remember. And at this point, I might add, that's another thing that you're seeing these days that we predicted in trance and before the FBI, and as well as before in our testimony before Congress, that the ultimate weapon that Adolf Hitler was envisioning was not going to be the atomic bomb. It was going to be mind control, and particularly mind control of the political leaders. He fantasized that he was going to be the puppet master. And what Kelly was being groomed for, and that's the reason that Kelly's recovery has been absolutely a terrible, terrible thing to have to deal with, because her brain stem, as well as her synapse, are so scarred that she's unable to focus to this day for any period of time on anything. She can't go to school. She can't work. She really is not the same type of survivor as Kathy. Kathy's victimization was strictly trauma-based. She was introduced to a tiny bit of harmonics, though, and I worked in that area, by the way, and that has been, a lot of that information, of course, has been declassified. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting here talking about it, but it's only been declassified in the last 2 years. As far as harmonics being used as a form of torture, yes, it can be.
And Kelly, the daughter, was getting hit with this stuff from the time she was born.
That's cool.
Yes, I never contributed to her abuse at all, but I wasn't able to protect her from it any more than I was able to protect myself. I didn't have the conscious capacity for my own survival or for hers, and my maternal instincts were very, very high to be able to protect her. Mother's love, I think, is probably one of the most powerful forces in the universe.
Sure. Sure. How did you know that this was happening to her? Was there a machine in the bassinet or something, or how did you know that was happening?
No, she was taken to the NASA installations and subjected to harmonics on various military and NASA installations.
Meaning somebody would come to your house and pick her up and take her away?
It would happen like that, somewhat. Yeah, it would, or we would both be there. And so there were various forms of torture. There were various forms of trauma and different ways of being programmed. The fact that Kelly was being subjected to this and I wasn't able to protect her from it, as I said, was the most horrible thing that I ever could experience. And when I hear today how people were torturing other people, like at Guantanamo, because they were following orders, that's incomprehensible to me from my experience, because I would take any torture myself rather than torture. That's not any part of what I could possibly do or be, especially with my own daughter. So it's just absolutely incomprehensible. It was love for Kelly and need for her rehabilitation that initially compelled Mark and I to speak out. We were reaching out trying to get help for Kelly in 1988 after he first got us out of there, and Kelly ended up in a hospital in intensive care with the programming that she has. And we'd been just calling out for help ever since, doing everything we could to raise awareness and be able to get help for my daughter. It was that motivation of love that allowed for me to be able to speak out at all. And it's something that we just continue to do today, because there are so many people who don't have a voice and need a voice, that this kind of horror is going on.
So how much did they use Kelly and for how long? Did that end at some point, Mark, when you entered the picture? And
yes, it did. And
did they have her doing stuff for them, engaging in the same kind of things that you did, Kathy?
She was sexually abused. She was horribly sexually abused, used in child pornography, prostituted out, and also was part of a cover, because there's always a cover in these kind of government operations. And when we would be in the Caribbean, for example, on drug operations, if I had my daughter with me, we simply looked like a mother and daughter on tourists in the Caribbean or whatever. So she was part of a cover that certainly worked well for people to not look twice at what was actually really going on.
George, people had actually come up to Kathy and told her that she was under mind control because they could see that she had no color in her eyes, for one thing. They could see the fresh electrical prod marks all over her body. And some of these people probably were former military, and they would come up and tell her, "You are under mind control," and she had no ability to comprehend what they were saying. This is a classic example. Kathy's got thousands of electrical prod marks all over her body. She's had other forms of physical torture that are obvious and still visible, and Kelly as well. But the bottom line was what saved our lives and how we were able to be on your show tonight. What is actually twofold. First of all, we did have our case investigated properly, particularly by a cooperative U.S. Customs.
Why U.S. Customs?
Yes, U.S. Customs Enforcement. They were the
why?
Well, primarily because that's where I had connections, and it's also where we were located at the time in Alaska. When the chief of Alaskan psychiatry for, you know, working the bush and working all of the oversight of psychiatrists that are practicing in Alaska, this Dr. Patrick, she, in fact, is the one who probably was instrumental, one of the main people that become instrumental in saving our lives when she published her report and sent it out. That both mother and daughter were suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and at that time they called it multiple personality disorder, which is a misnomer. You only have one personality. It's just fragmented. But nevertheless, when that happened, and then moving forward in time when we presented our case before the Tennessee courts, and Judge Andrew Shookoff in open court, did something that is entirely contrary to everything that I had ever seen. It's a matter of public record. He invoked the 1947 National Security Act on our case and said that we could no longer present any testimony.
When did that happen? When was that?
That happened in, what was it, 93, Kathy?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yes.
U.S. Customs was also involved in our case because they were, William von Raab had already uncovered.
He was signed under Reagan because of this.
Because of the drug industry.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll get into the concept of proof and what we can prove and what we can't prove as we continue this fascinating story of CIA mind control with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. I'm George Knapp here on Coast to Coast AM. We're talking with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. It's a fantastic story, a disturbing story about CIA mind control and some of the familiar names from American politics who were allegedly involved. When we come back, I want to get into a little bit about the concept of proof and whether they can actually prove any of this in terms of documentation. We heard that they testified before Congress. I want to ask them about that. And also whether or not they believe that this is still going on to one degree or another. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. My name is George Knapp, joined by Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, a disturbing and far-reaching story of CIA mind control and what it's done to their lives and the life of Kathy's daughter as well. Let's talk about proof. Now, Mark, you told me a couple of minutes ago that you had initiated some sort of legal action and got into court in Tennessee, and the judge, strangely enough, invoked the 1947 National Security Act as a reason why this thing could not move forward. Is there a court transcript then that would support that? And you can see why I'm asking. Is it,
of course.
You know, is there a paper trail to support some of the things the two of you are saying?
There's not only a paper trail that has been heavily redacted. There's also the judge himself, who is now still a Tennessee state judge. He was head of the Vanderbilt Law Department. He was a chair for many, many years before he became involved as a judge, Tennessee judge. And Judge Shookoff was interviewed by HBO, who was wanting to do a special on this until Time Warner stopped it. They are, of course, the parent company of HBO. But nevertheless, they spent a lot of money and a lot of our time and a lot of their time investigating these claims. And one of the things that I would like to make clear, but to preface it, if you don't mind,
sure.
Nancy Pelosi was on the Rachel Maddow show the other night, and she said something that absolutely confirmed what we attempt to tell people all the time. She is head of the Permanent Select Committee for Intelligence Oversight, has been for some time. She said that the Permanent Select Committee for Intelligence Oversight in the House is an absolute farce. She said because anything that has national security slapped on it, all they get is blacked out pages and to review for oversight purposes. She said for all intent and purposes, we cannot be the Select Committee for Intelligence Oversight because we were not provided any information, she said. And this involves not only situations within the military, it also involves cases that apparently don't have any direct connection to the military whatsoever. They're just, and a lot of them involve civilians.
Yeah, it's abused. The national security thing is abused. But in this case I'm talking about that you told me about, if I were to file a public records request in Tennessee, what would I see? Would I see a document that says the judge invoked this 1947 act?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that information is in our book. And you would most likely have to dig a little bit because when HBO approached it, they couldn't get the files. So they approached the judge directly and got him on camera. And he said the files do exist. And, yes, in fact, he did. He was told to invoke the National Security Act, and he said to protect. I'm paraphrasing here. He said, but in essence, to protect Kathy and I and Kelly, he invoked it in open court rather than in closed quarters, as he is supposed to do. And he was well aware that he was supposed to have done it in closed quarters, but he did it in front of about 150 people in the courtroom, and there were also members of the press there, including Time Warner. And People Magazine, they were all there. But the problem is that when national security is invoked, records get redacted. And you'll find that we were there and we did testify, and you will find that the National Security Act was invoked there. You won't find out any other details, period.
Kathy, why are you still alive? I mean, if you're spilling these kinds of beans about these kinds of powerful people, why didn't they just take you out a long time ago?
Well, our book, Access Denied for Reasons of National Security,
right.
Definitely documents in comprehensive detail how we managed to survive by getting the information out there, by working with the law enforcement agencies like U.S. Customs and the validations that they were able to come up with. We have many documents, footnotes, and references in both books, A Transformation of America and Access Denied, and both of which are available with additional the MK Ultra files through our website, forreasonsofnationalsecurity.com. Those are some places where people can research for further information and be able to comprehensively go through this information detail by detail instead of just, you know, skipping around from this place to that. It needs to be in a comprehensive order to make the kind of sense necessary for the documentation that's in both of these books.
Yeah, I understand that. But you would, for example, you referenced the U.S. Customs investigation, and there is a reference to that in your book, but I don't see the actual investigation or any kind of report in this thing.
We can't. We were not allowed to publish it because they never handed it to us. The only thing that we were able to even say was the fact that they had indeed investigated it, and we do have proof that from the doctor, from the psychiatrist, chief psychiatrist of Alaska, that she indeed turned over all this information to U.S. Customs, and they told her, according to her information and what she published, that they were actively investigating the case, that there were elements of the case they had been able to prove as credible. And that's about as far as it ever went.
This is like asking us for the torture records of Guantanamo.
You know, I understand.
These aren't things that are easily readily available, and it takes an act of Congress to get them.
Well, you also understand why I would ask that. I mean,
of course, this is
a pretty fantastic story you're telling. We're just looking for whether or not there's a way to fill in some of the blanks. For example, you mentioned earlier about testimony to Congress. Does that mean you submitted testimony or
did your...
Okay, so you weren't called before committee.
You're only called after the testimony is submitted and the Intelligence Oversight Committees, both in both houses, has a chance to review it.
I imagine that went over real big, considering the, how many members or former members of Congress that you mentioned in your accounts.
Well, they never saw it. I mean, the Permanent Select Committees for Intelligence Oversight, all they saw was black ink. And that was what Nancy Pelosi's been talking about. She said, you know, ever since, really, and you know, Harry Truman's daughter, Margaret, I've talked to her before, and when she lived in St. Louis before she passed away, she said, quote, and I have it on tape, the one thing that, and you got to remember, this guy dropped the atomic bomb. He's the only, we're the only country that has. He said, she said, the only thing that he really regretted more than anything else was signing the 1947 National Security Act. He said, she said, he had no concept of what he was signing, that he had just signed away all Americans' rights, and to compound the felony, if you excuse me, any country that has a peace treaty with the United States, their populace is also subject to our National Security Act. In other words, in Canada, or Mexico, or anywhere that has a peace treaty with the United States, they are subject to the 1947 National Security Act. And this was actually tried in the Frank Church hearings. The point we're making here is, I suppose the hardest hardcore proof you can imagine would be if you sit down and read Transformation of America from cover to cover, and look at the date it was published, and then research each major point in there on the internet. You will find out those facts were not known until like 2000, 2005, 2008.
Well, you know what? I have been reading it, and the other one as well, Access Denied as well. And you're right. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that is timely right now. In fact, like this week, it's timely. And
Kathy is not a seer.
It's ultimately really depressing to me. It's depressing to me to think that this would happen to Kathy and to Kelly and other people. And that's the overwhelming feeling I came away from the book with.
Trance is, well, we always say that Access Denied for Reasons of National Security is the antidote to anyone reading Trance. We really didn't want to publish Trance. That was on the advice of a retired federal judge and our lawyers. You should get this information out immediately.
As a form of protection so they don't come after you. I mean, once it's out there and something happened to you, somebody look into it.
Well, of course. And you know, we were worth a whole lot more alive than dead. As a matter of fact, I was told to quit smoking and quit riding motorcycles at that time. Only because nobody would believe, and I'm sure they won't even if Kathy and I die of natural causes, nobody's going to believe it. Because there's so many millions of people now that know who we are and know our story and have been able to verify and validate certain elements of it because they've taken the time to do it. The point is, in addition to all of this, George, in 1994, I believe it was, under, well, I guess it had been Clinton, They passed the U.S. Whistleblowers Protection Act. And that Protection Act, as long as we don't cross over, in other words, I would like to run an ad for our books on your show. I can't do it. Somebody else can do it for us, but we're not allowed to promote ourselves or in any sort of way or fashion. Now, I can tell you that we're going to be speaking in Los Angeles, and Roseanne Barr and is going to be there. She's going to be introducing, I believe she'll be introducing us. People can go to goodkarmapr.com or call 805-653-1588.
Yeah, we've got some links on the Coast to Coast site where people can
look
up
for
info for you.
Thank you very much.
Well, tell me this. We've got a couple minutes left, just us, and then we'll open up the phone lines. But I'm curious what your thoughts are on what's going on now, whether any of this stuff is still going on, where it's at a lesser level or a higher level. And in that same vein, is it something you'd just be guessing about, or do you happen to know
Well, it's finally come out. I mean, in the last few weeks, George, that the SEER – S-E-A-R projects, or the SEER, we call it a project. It's nothing more than preconditioning of pilots and other people that will be flying into war zones so that they cannot be forced by torture to tell the truth. Now, the only way to do this is by a form of a very well-constructed mind control. So it's throughout our military.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering if the same kind of thing is going on as taking a five-year-old girl and put her into the program like what happened to Kathy.
Unfortunately, I can only surmise, of course, because so many victims have surfaced as a result of situations kind of like ours. The people that have surfaced, and this world-famous psychiatrist, Dr. Colin Ross, he, in fact, has published many books on the topic, and the numbers that he estimates are in the millions over, decades and decades. You've got to remember, mind control research began in earnest in this country in 1929, I believe it was. That was the first effort. And, of course, Hitler, his interest was more in having Himmler run around the countryside dredging up occult-based families that were using blood rituals because of the effects on the mind of children and how they could easily be manipulated and heightened their intelligence.
Mark, somewhere in one of the two books, I think it was in the Access Denied book, you talked about going to Las Vegas with Kathy, and you met some mob guys.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious whether you can name the mob guys, because I know pretty much all of them here. So
I'm sure you do. I don't think there'd be one name that I could name that you wouldn't know of.
But you can't name them.
Well, I won't out of courtesy. A lot of them are deceased now. They were old then.
Yeah.
But I was working with these guys in the 70s when the CIA through Howard Hughes and his operation was
Robert
over Mayhew. Las Vegas.
Right.
And these guys were co-opted by the CIA. They knew it, and that was the reason that I went first to them. Out of pure desperation, when I'm stripped of all my assets and my life has been threatened on a daily or practically an hourly basis. Of course, that's a good thing.
You know the name Johnny Roselli, right?
I know the name, yes.
Is it somebody you knew personally?
I will not comment, George. There's a couple of things that I just absolutely cannot talk about, and that's one of them. I was in Las Vegas not too recently, but recently, and I reconnected with a couple of the guys that I had initially seen in 1988 when I was taking Kathy and Kelly to Alaska. And these guys are pretty tough characters, and they told me, they said, you're just absolutely, in essence, barking up the wrong tree. We're not going to help you one bit. We're not even going to help you financially. We're not going to help you in any way whatsoever, because you're not going to go anywhere with this thing. And if you do manage to survive it, nobody's going to believe you. Well, they were wrong, and I wanted to mention that to one of them, who I happen to like, that and he was nothing more than accounted for. For group of casinos out there.
Kathy, tell me this. You know, the books come out, you speak, you're very open about the story as you tell it. How often do you have somebody come up to you or call you or write to you out of the blue and say, the same thing happened to me, some woman who's been through the same
constantly.
Sort of experience? Yeah,
constantly. We hear from people all the time, and it's on a sliding scale and from all over the world, from varying levels of abuse and control. And even you were asking if it's ongoing today. Well, it depends what level you're talking about, because after 911, whoever is responsible for that trauma, it traumatized the nation nevertheless. And the people that were in control of our government at that time are the same ones named in Transformation of America, the Bush-Cheney mess. And the minds of the people were manipulated at that time. The government took a very strong control over the people when that trauma occurred. Because anytime trauma occurs, the mind is suggestible. And when people are suggestible, they're easily led. We were easily led into wars that were unfounded. We were led into the mess that is currently being straightened out with this truth coming to light.
How much contact do you have with your daughter? How's she faring right now?
She's doing remarkably well for her circumstances, but her circumstances are absolutely deplorable because she was never given any kind of qualified rehabilitation for the high-tech harmonic abuses that she endured. The key that locked the door of her mind needs to be used to unlock it. She has a great struggle. Nevertheless, what free thought she has allows for her soul expression. Once there's that free thought, there's a capacity to have soul expression, and she lives the love that she is and celebrates every day, just like I do, to be free to live that love, to be able to live in a manner conducive to the essence of our being instead of following the orders of criminals that have than destroying our country.
Well, given the stakes, given the stature of the people that you're talking about and the power of these institutions and agencies, I mean, what do you realistically expect to happen?
You've asked the $64,000 question, or I should say rephrase that, the $2.2 million question with interest. You know, you won the George Peabody Award, George, for going after something that the mainstream press wouldn't touch. And you managed to surface with the facts, and you managed to get it out there. That's precisely what we're not hunting for George Peabody Award by any stretch of imagination. We're only simply wanting to get the information out there. And by getting the information out there, we've attracted physicians primarily, doctors from all over the world of high standards and high standing within their peer groups.
Meaning doctors who've worked in this kind of programs, or doctors willing to help the
victims?
Actually,
some have. I've had in-depth discussions with Russian doctors, German doctors, and Japanese doctors. The Japanese have done many documentaries with us on both of their two channels.
And the
Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, I'm going to ask you to hold on here. We're going to go take a break. When we come back, we'll be going to the phones, and we can also continue our own conversation here on Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us, everyone. My name is George Knapp. Hope you'll stick around. Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. They've authored two books. One is Transformation of America. That's two words, Transformation of America, the true life story of a CIA mind control slave. And the more recent book, Access Denied for Reasons of National Security. Pretty interesting reading, very disturbing reading. And we've been talking with Kathy and Mark about their experiences over the last couple of years, waiting for the phone lines to fire up and to get to your questions. Kathy, I want to ask this question. Mark used the term early in the interview, fragmented personalities, as opposed to split personalities. Do you still have this stuff?
No, I'm totally integrated and healed, and there are still memories that surface, though, but they're just little what I would refer to more as dust pieces, or maybe a little fragment that doesn't have anything to do with my conscious awareness or my personality, but it does have to do with 30 years of torture and abuse and mind-controlled programming on the highest level.
When you did have these fragmented personalities, how many did you have, and how would they manifest themselves? I mean, were you you were different people at different times?
According to how I was triggered, it wasn't a random thing. When people have the dissociative identity disorder from sexual abuse or whatever, they may have several different personas that they project. In my case, each was programmed and accessed, so it was more or less conducive to that particular government operation of the moment.
Did you have different names? Were you different people, or was it just different parts of Kathy?
Pretty much different parts of Kathy, but there were different terms that would be applied. But most people apply them, like honey baby, or, in my case, like Reagan would call me kitten, you know, something like that. But those weren't so distinguished to the personalities as it was just the people who were referring to me at the time. I didn't really relate to any name, because I didn't have any conscious awareness or self-awareness in that regard.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones. Wildcard line, Greg in South Carolina. Hi, Greg, how you doing?
Kathy, I've read your story, and I believe every word of it, and God bless you, what you went through, and your helper there. What's his name?
Her helper is Mark.
Mark
Phillips.
Your angel.
Thanks, Greg.
Your angel.
Oh,
anyway,
bless your heart.
Just a quick comment and then a question. This is ancient. It comes from Egyptian mysticism through the Kabbalah up through Europe. Then they're called the Masons, and they infiltrated even the Catholic Church and then over here to America and even into today. My question is, through the media, is, like Ron Paul, I was a Ron Paul supporter, and he was made the most sense of any candidate, and he was made like a fruitcake.
I agree with you 100%, and so does Kathy. We're not allowed to openly support any candidates. However, Ron Paul was the only candidate we saw that you had at the time.
That every single network said he was a fruitcake, but I'm worried about this analog system coming up on our TV set. Do you think that they might be able to brainwash us more through our media through that? And just one comment, Jesus wins. God bless you both.
Thank you, my friend. Actually, I've often said in many of our public appearances, and we've done, I don't even know how many global tours. Nevertheless, I always said that if Hitler had had television, and actually they did invent it over there, but had he had television, we might all be speaking German now. Television has been the number one mind manipulator for my entire life, practically. I know that it was in the late 40s when my family first got a television set. And if you'll notice the tranced look on people's faces when they're watching television, and particularly the so-called news broadcast where it's just one trauma after another, that is probably, I do believe, the greatest form of mass mind manipulation on this planet. And the advertisers and, of course, the media know it very well. It's people like George Norrie and George Knapp, of course, that are doing the job of untraumatizing people with the facts, even though they may sound traumatic. The fact is that they're being alerted to what is actually going on around them instead of what they're being told.
Exactly.
I don't know about Greg's point about the switch to digital going on that's would have anything to do with any. Yeah, well, he's talking about, you know, the switch from analog to digital, I think, and whether or not that might be some sort of part of the conspiracy. And
I can't see that.
Yeah, I can't see that. It's more like the content. If you buy the idea that it is a conspiracy and media manipulation occurs, that it'd be more the content than the format.
Yeah, exactly. I've read little tidbits about that, and it didn't make any sense to me because it is the content, certainly not the format that it's broadcast in.
Kathy, I'm sorry to interrupt you there. You were going to make a comment.
I was just simply going to say how truth does make us free, and when people are aware of how the media manipulates us, they'll be able to stay consciously aware and stay guarded against it.
Going to go to the wild card line. Kathy in Washington has a question. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Hi. I bought 12 copies of the Transformation book.
Wow.
And got them out to people after I met an Oregonian who helped helped Kathy with the book. But I don't want to say the name of the person, by the way. But it struck me, the phrase in the book, you can run, but you can't hide, in light of all the, you know, satellite and other surveillance these days. And my question for Kathy right now is if she's heard about the Franklin Scandal book coming out by journalist Nick Bryant, who spent 5 years of his life researching this Franklin Scandal about child abuse and judicial betrayal. It's going to be published by an Oregon company, TrineDay.com, and they're taking, I guess, pre-orders now. But it's about a nationwide pedophile ring that pandered children to a rich and powerful cabal. And the pimps were a pair of Republican power brokers who used the Boys Town in Nebraska as a pedophilic reservoir with access to high levels of government and CIA connections.
If I may comment on this, earlier in the broadcast I mentioned to George where Alex Houston, who was Kathy's handler at the time that I rescued her, where he was. He was physically at Boys Town. Yes, we are keenly and acutely aware of that entire case, and we also know some details I'm sure this gentleman has written about. I hope he has anyway, and I am going to get the book, and I'm going to read it because it does interface with segments of our case.
Thanks so much for letting me know that you know about the scandal, and we got to get the word out because they need to publish like 20,000 copies of the book, and that's the problem with these small publishers. They just sometimes have the money for 2,000. So,
hey, are you their agent or something? What's the deal?
No, I'm actually a friend. One of their computer nerds is also my nerd. I just have a nerd in common.
All right. Well, Kathy, thank you for that call. We have another Kathy on the line. We're going to get to her call as soon as we come back from this break on Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast. It's sort of our Kathy night here on Coast to Coast. We're talking with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. We just heard from Kathy in Washington. No, excuse me, the Kathy in Oregon. Now we're going to Kathy in Washington. Kathy, meet Kathy.
Oh, hi. Hey, I have a question. I have been studying a lot about this European families, the royal families, and a lot of them had incest. And there's a certain look in their eye that they get when they've been abused. I had a friend who was abused by her father sexually. And Elle, who was the granddaughter of Victoria, she married Duke Serge of Russia. And I've been reading about the Romanov bride. It's a book about her. And they just did what they were told to do.
Kathy O'Brien, do you recognize anything like a look in the eye?
Absolutely. There's a wide-eyed look where the white above the eyes show. It's as though the eyes are wide open so that you can see abuse before it happens. It's like having eyes in the back of the head, and very often traumatized people exhibit that that wide-eyed look, as well as pupillary dilation.
Right, and I wanted to ask Mark Phillips specifically. I'm sure that the royal families of Europe are involved with this mind control. I believe Elle almost married Kaiser Wilhelm. And I believe that the incest is it's every age, every century, it goes on. And so I was in the military, and so I know what you're talking about.
You know, Kathy, I'm sure you've seen in the, within the military what is called loosely the 1,000-mile stare. And you'll also recognize the pupillary dilation, where there's virtually no color in the eyes of the individuals who have been so traumatized, either by war or by programming. And this is a significant thing that people can see. Now, someone who is not all, but I would venture to say in the upper 90 percentiles, and all physicians will confirm this, that treat dissociative identity disorders and other dissociative disorders and PTSD, they will all say that people who have been so abused will develop this pupillary dilation, and they will also develop under the, if it's incest before age 5, they'll get white above their eyes and below their eyes. A lot of entertainers have been abused, and that's one of the reasons that it's come out in many, 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 many times in magazines about the fact that virtually the vast majority of all comedians have been abused as children, and child actors that were infinitely successful, with the exception of people like Ron Howard, who was never abused to my knowledge or his. His head screwed on completely straight.
Did you say comedians?
Comedians, yes, comedians. I mean, this has come out in the last 10 years. Everywhere I look, every time I turn on, like, the Comedy Central, there'll be a comedian, and they'll be talking about this, the fact that most comedians were abused as children. Now, they don't go into the details of sexual abuse. They just say horrific abuse or a parental abuse that was beyond what most people would ever imagine or experience. It's just a well-known fact around Hollywood. Of course, these people can be easily manipulated, and they become their roles. They become their parts. That's why they're so extraordinary, actors and actresses. So this is not an unusual thing, George.
Kathy, thanks for the call. We're going to go to our first-time caller line, Joe in Cleveland. Good morning, Joe. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, George?
Okay. What's on your mind?
I actually had a comment and a question. Some of the things that they've said tonight have just sent chills up my spine. I've been in the mental health system for probably 15 years. I've taken a plethora of medications, and then about 3.5 to 4 years ago, all these memories were released. The best I can describe it is like something was stored up in my subconscious. It came to my conscious mind.
How old are you?
36.
36?
Yeah.
You'll undergo a change at around 30 where the brain chemistry changes, and those kind of memories will begin to start percolating up. Unfortunately, a lot of psychiatrists like to treat, they are programmed by the drug companies, and their education is funded by the drug companies. Instead of approaching this from a psychological standpoint, they approach it from a psychiatric standpoint, and they begin just treating the symptoms with drugs and trying to overlay them. And that
All right.
I think you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I think in the long run, a lot of the meds do. You become dependent on them, whether it's psychological or if it's actual brain chemistry or what. But something that Kathy, or I believe maybe I think you said about something that you would have to say, like there's certain phrases that can open up the mind to the subconscious mind.
Well, everything is a trigger. I mean, everything in life is a trigger.
Exactly what you said was said to me by a therapist.
Ah.
I was in a therapy session and was down on my hands and knees crying. I'm guessing one of the parts of my personality is like a child. I'd say about a 10-year-old child, some things that happened to me. And the exact words out of his mouth were, "This is God talking to you." And then after that, I don't remember what he said.
Wow. Wow. Where was this, may I ask? What part of the country?
I'm in North Carolina.
Okay. Well, I worked at Duke University for a period of time because we had a project going on there. Of course, it didn't involve any
any torture, and I certainly didn't see any children involved. The only place I ever saw children involved was at a mental health facility in Lexington, Kentucky.
No, I'm saying this happened to me as an adult. Yeah, within like the last year and a half.
Wow.
I don't see them anymore.
Good.
But that happened to me, and then there were some other things that were said to me, and then later on I acted on them.
Wow.
I don't really understand what the deal is. I mean,
I don't understand
how all this works.
What's that mean, you acted on them?
Well, like things were told to me, like I've had a difficult relationship with my mom. She had been at a couple of the therapy sessions. We had family sessions. And he said, she's been riding your back your whole life. And then some other things he said to me. And then a few days after that, I was at her house for a cookout. And the next thing I know, I'm shaking her by her shoulders, and I have my hands around her neck. And it's just fragmented. I don't remember everything that happened up to that. I mean, I don't understand what happened. I'm not trying to blame it on that. I'm just trying to come to some understanding. When you said, this is God talking to you, that sent chills up my spine, because that's exactly what he said to me during one of the sessions when I was in a very, very extreme, you know, psychological, I was
vulnerable.
One of the very first things that Mark taught me was to write out my memory, because verbalizing it kept it in the emotional, and it was already emotionally incomprehensible, and it just created more problems like what you're describing, whereas writing out memory will switch it over to the logical. The very act of moving a pen shifts the information into the logical in order for it to come out in writing. And when it becomes logical, it's much, much easier to deal with, and it brings about healing. These healing details are in our book, Access Denied. And it was written in a way where people like yourself would be able to read it and get some great information from the methods that I use for healing, because deprogramming is essentially self-deprogramming. It's something that you do for yourself. And you can take the information that Mark taught me, the methods he taught me, and apply them to yourself and heal in a much more logical and easy way, where you won't have these kind of, going into action on them.
They're called flashbacks. And if I may introduce one thing, and that is, if anyone wants to order the book, they can dial 1-800-656-3597.
All right. We'll be back with more of our interview with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips right after this. I'm George Knapp. This is Coast to Coast AM. We're talking with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips about the disturbing revelations they have uncovered about CIA mind control. Coming back, we're in the stretch run. We'll get to as many of your calls and questions as we can. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Knapp. Thanks for staying up late with us, everyone. We're talking with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips about CIA mind control programs. In our final segment here, we'll get to as many calls as we can. Going to Ian in Toronto. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I've listened to Kathy and the gentleman, I believe, on your program before. And they're riveting. You cannot turn away. Because you don't want to believe some of it, especially going up to the highest levels of American office. But, wow, I'm not calling them liars. It just bothers me that some of the men I respected my whole life are being implicated in this. But that's not exactly why I'm calling. I'm calling it because I wanted to know if Kathy and the gentleman is aware of, in my country, in Quebec, there's a cult called the Family Love Cult. It started out several months ago, small group of families, and it's growing to a national movement. And I think they're going to try to become legal in Quebec and then legal in Canada. You know what family love is. It's what you're talking about all night. It's a euphemism for what you're talking about. Are you aware of this?
I am vaguely aware of it, Evan. I've gotten heads up, of course, from people in your country with regards to this particular cult and this the similarities of other such cults that have since been closed down. One was in Washington State, one was in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. It's become a national movement in the Francophone community. It hasn't really touched the Anglophone community yet that I know of. But because I watch all the French news and they're terrified. Our prime minister said this is crazy. The premier of Quebec said this is insane. And there are many good Catholic priests that are trying to warn against it in Quebec. But it's amazing. It's become a positive. They call it a positive movement. They're not using the word incest, but they call it family love, or fam love for short. And it's wow. So I think the English community is almost immune to it so far.
Ian, is it literally family love? I mean, that
it's family love. It's literally
promoting incest, or
that's it. They don't use that word. That's a derogatory expression with negative connotations, as you've talked about for 3 hours. So I was wondering if you've heard of this. This is massive. I think it's gone into Europe. I've watched European broadcasts, and I learned French years ago, not all of it, but there's Italian, and they're terrified. Europe, they're talking about this on in Italian broadcast and Spanish broadcast, but they will not talk about it in English language Canada. They will not talk about it. I don't know what's going on. It's like it's not allowed to be talked about in our newspapers or anything in English Canada, but the French Canada is talking about this. And like first they started laughing at it. They're not laughing anymore. This is a national movement, and they're hoping for the next prime minister to be a liberal, and he's already blessed it. He didn't say, I bless it, and specifically he calls it, we joked about it, called it true patriot love. So the leader of the Liberal Party, our national his name is Michael Ignatieff. He's all for it. I mean, I've listened to him. You've got to listen to the French broadcast. You have to understand French and on the CBC 860, and it's all there. It's all there. It's a national movement. It's going to be decriminalized and then legalized, I believe, within 2 to 3 years.
Well, you know, had it not been for a prime minister or a cabinet minister's wife being abused in the MKUltra project under the founder of the American Psychiatric Association, Dr. Ewing Cameron, an MKUltra scientist. All this is public facts and figures. But had it not been for this particular individual, Canadian, I think they call him a PM, had it not been for him stepping up to the plate and demanding an investigation, the Frank Church hearings would have never happened, and MK Ultra would have still been under wraps as a top secret project. Now, of course, MK Ultra, the names have evolved many, many times, and each time we've had four presidents to step up to the plate over the last few decades, and each one of them said, you know, this is a terrible thing. It's not going to happen again. I mean, this is becoming a real bore. But the fact is, our neighbors to the north in Canada have been duly victimized. A lot of the Indian tribes have been victimized, not only through experimentation, but through horrific abuse in order to recruit these individuals for certain tasks. This is a matter of public knowledge, and to have a cult pop up, as you're suggesting, and as I've heard about, but have not been able to confirm the details of, and come go public, that's
well, it just seems hard to believe, and I'm not questioning you, Ian, there, but for political leaders to come out being in favor of, essentially, as you describe it, incest, doesn't seem like a very good political move for them. I mean, kinds of things that Mark and Kathy have been describing have been all sub rosa kind of a thing. I can't imagine being out front about being in favor of incest. That doesn't seem like that's something that gets you votes.
Yeah.
I mean, you agree, though, wouldn't you, Mark?
Like I said, I don't know all the details about this particular cult. I've only read hearsay, and I've read it from doctors as well as I've read it from individuals that have emailed us and asked us questions about it. And my ability to research these things is limited, just like you and other
right.
people. So I really don't have a firm footing by which to judge this thing. If it is, in fact, being condoned by the current administration up there in Quebec, it's terrifying.
It's foolish. Foolish, if anything, considering that Canada has so much awareness of mind control. They're the ones who successfully prosecuted the CIA's involvement in the mind control at the Allen Memorial Institute. They had their huge expose on the sleep room up there on their Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
That's an incredible documentary, by the way, and it's called The Sleep Room. And it was not legal to bring into this country for many years, and now it is, of course. But that details exactly how the Canadian government and the U.S. government interfaced with the CIA and did experiments at the Allen Memorial Institute there in Quebec. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible documentary, but nevertheless very informative.
We'll have to look for that wild card line. Connie in Kansas City has a question for Kathy.
Oh, hi. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
I went through I'm a survivor of MKUltra, but I was on another end of it. I was mind controlled by Mengele himself, Joseph Mengele, who lived in this country under different aliases for most of his life. His twin, and most people don't know he had a twin, Anthony, spent most of his time in Argentina, and they traded places back and forth occasionally for brief periods. But he gave the MKUltra information and the program to the CIA, and he fed it to them in controlled doses. For instance, the electrodes that I guess you were exposed to were different than what he was experimenting with, which were implants. And that is what we see the evidence of today in this shadow government UFO, supposedly UFO crap. But my question to you was, now these people lived here, he and his small, trite group of spies, Nazi spies, lived in disguise and used various identities of Americans, and they used all sorts of masks and wigs and so forth. And my question to you is it, do you think it's possible that some of your experiments or experiences, for instance, with United Kingdom, with the royal family members, could have been people in disguise?
Katie never had any experience.
Thank you.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
Well, maybe American political figures.
Well, I don't know.
And
I wouldn't be surprised by that. Now, for instance, Henry Kissinger, I met Kissinger when I was little, and that's not his real name. He's not a Jew. His real name is Malaxa, Nikolai Malaxa. He's had surgeries. He's taken that identity for many years, and he used masks as he was transitioning that identity. But that's his real name. That's his real identity, just as Tsujimasa Nobu, today, Reverend Moon, the infamous Reverend Moon. He's really
the head of the CIA, the Korean CIA, by the way.
Yeah, he's very tight with the Bush family, and
yes.
As was Malaxa. And they were all very tied in with Mengele, and knowingly so. So you know, I've written a book that I hope to be published soon that will interface with your book. And I'm sorry, I had something mixed up about another book that was written by an MKUltra survivor. So I apologize about that. But
Connie, you're saying that you were subjected to tests and experiments by Joseph Mengele?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. We were raised to call him Grandpa, and he had several identities that he used. He lived primarily in Spokane, Washington, and Seattle, although he traveled around the country. And as I say, he did go back and forth between Argentina a few
times. And he had a twin brother down there, and that's the Joseph Mengele that they found.
His name is Anthony. That was his fascination with twins, yes, because he was a twin himself. His twin was given up at birth because his parents, he was ill, and his parents didn't feel they could support both children and take care of his medical needs. So they had given Anthony up at birth, and Eichmann helped him find his twin during the war. He found Anthony during the war. Anthony was a general.
Hey, Connie, we're going to have you on the show or something. You're going to have to talk to Kathy and Mark about their publisher or something, because that sounds
we are whistleblowers, so we had to self-publish.
Okay.
We could never have a publisher because had we gotten a publisher, they would have been stopped under the National Security Act.
Well, maybe Connie can talk to you about how to go through that process.
Sure.
But
yeah.
that sounds like she's got more than we can handle in a couple of minutes. We're going to go west of the Rockies, Michael in Phoenix. How you doing, Michael? Hello? Michael is not with us. Hey, how do you two, Kathy and Mark, is this how you make a living now, is the books and speaking and things of that sort?
No, you don't make a living off self-publishing two books. And I had some very serious spinal surgery done in January, and up until 2000 we were able to make a living on a global speaking circuit working for the former marketing director of American Express International. However, with that said, I make my living in various ways. One is I take collector's cars and motorcycles, and I run a restoration operation for those. I do a variety of things. For a while, built computers for banks and this sort of thing. But
that's a good thing Marcus is resourceful as he is and as capable as he is, because there is no money in what we do. We do this out of absolute necessity to keep blowing the whistle.
Public service.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really doesn't have anything to do with making any money. Anybody who wants to be a whistleblower is going to be very saddened when
mm-hmm.
they find out.
For sure.
It costs them everything they got.
Not a lot of wealthy whistleblowers out there.
No.
I don't know of any. Do you?
No, I don't. First-time caller, Lowell in Iowa. Hi, Lowell.
Hi. I think that you want me to just go ahead and talk?
Sure.
Or do you want to ask me a question?
No, you called in to ask us a question.
Yeah, well, I would like to know what I can do to protect myself. I'm the subject of a mind control experiment by the government. I know the government's involved, and I'd like to be able to protect myself and, get some help.
That's exactly the reason we wrote Access Denied, for reasons of national security, so that it provides necessary, pertinent information for people like yourself. It not only provides the healing information, but offers coping skills and safety tips and solutions all along the way.
Uh-huh. Is there anything that doesn't require spending money?
I'm sorry?
He's looking for a therapy or something like that for free.
No, I'm not looking for a therapy. I'm looking for physical protection and from the government. And go ahead.
That's a small amount to pay to have that, which says far more than we're able to say on a radio show or even through emails or anything else. Do check out our website at forreasonsofnationalsecurity.com. And you may be able to find a few tips and a couple answers that will get you started in that direction you're seeking.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Tracy in Nevada on the wild card line. Hi, Tracy.
Am I on the air?
You are indeed. Where are you in Nevada?
I am Zephyr Cove, Nevada. I am so thankful to be able to be on the air. I know you're running out of time here. You got, about 8 minutes left. I want to thank you, George, for having these people on, Mark, Kathy. Thank you very much for going public with what you have found out, and that is truth. I myself am a victim of mind control experiments, and at least I can say, and I know a lot of your listeners out there are fearful to call in if they're not in a state of mind right now where they're going through torture, trauma, etc. I've gone through sheer hell, and I know that the worst of the worst things that I have gone through are not in comparison to some worst things that other people have gone through. This is definitely a national security risk and also internationally, and that is one reason people are fearful to call in. I know on your conversations, I tuned in a little late, and I'm sorry I missed a good portion of your program. Some of your talk was about television and so forth. My personal thoughts about television are that it is a desensitizer. People can watch programming, and there is some good programming too, PBS, et cetera, but people watch TV, they see murder, mayhem, sex, and whatnot, and they become desensitized. But this mind control bit, and I'm very cautious about what I even want to say, But I don't know if you've looked in or delved into electromagnetic energy, non-lethal weaponry, neuro-electromagnetic energy experiments, and so forth. But it is the God's honest truth what these people are talking about.
That we also touched on that with the harmonic aspect of it,
right? Well,
earlier in the show.
Say, at least you guys together as a family, there are so many people out there in the world today who have been slapped with a label of some form of mental illness or another, and their families believe that. They feel, I felt so alone for so many years.
Yes.
Until people started to talk about this and become more open publicly, yet through Amnesty International, they don't want to get involved for one reason or another. You mentioned various public figures, and have you thought that perhaps some of these public figures are under mind control themselves?
And also, mind control is a top secret weapon system in itself that is being used right now. So they don't want to have the information out there, not only the information on mind control. They certainly don't want to provide healing information or an antidote for something they don't even want to admit exists. So it is it's been a long road for those of us who have been exposed to it. And it's time the information come to light.
And Kathy, do you? I guess we're out of time. I'd like to ask you. Maybe we'll do it off the air sometime about whether this is remote technology that can be used, as opposed to just one-on-one kind of mind control. Very interesting conversation with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, authors of two books, Transformation of America and Access Denied for Reason of National Security. Thank you both. Hope you'll come back and talk to us again sometime, and hope you keep safe. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I'll be back next month on Coast to Coast AM.